This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Jimmy Jewelry.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretch.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Wow, this is a very unsympathetic song to start the show, Jimmy. I mean, this is just crazy to me. Have you no sympathy for a man who was a beloved member of the Florida Panthers organization just last season?
I am aware, but the song was...
Well, I don't think you are. When Stolarz went out, Jimmy, did you text anybody, say goodnight, Gracie?
No, just no. You.
Appreciate it. So here's the situation. It was a weird Panthers game last night because they're getting blown out, and then all of a sudden they're back in it. But I don't know if they're back in it. I was having this conversation with Appel on text last night. I don't know if they're back in it because they figured it out and they got it together, or Wall is just a much lesser goalie than Stolarz. So it could have been a combination of the both, because Stolarz was pitching a gem, really. He really was. But it was a strange game because they're getting blown out, and then you have a chance to tie it in the last couple of minutes, and you almost felt like they were going to. Like, it really felt like it was leading up kind of like to that Winnipeg finish the night prior. Like, yeah. It really felt like it was leaning towards it, and we didn't get there, but nice little comeback. You don't want to start the series down 0-1, but it's certainly not anything that the Panthers can't overcome. The big story, obviously, is Anthony Stolarz getting knocked out of the game. And Solana and I were talking about it before the show started. I mean, I don't think it was the Bennett arm to the head. I think it was the slap shot. I think we're both in agreement. I think people are coming around to it, but I think the slap shot that knocked his helmet off just a couple plays before is probably where he attained the head injury. And it may have been exacerbated because he wasn't feeling himself since then. And then all of a sudden he hits the ice again from a forearm from Sam Bennett that really packed no punch to it. When I look at the replay, like, there was no force there. Sam Bennett's going for the puck. He happened to meet Stolarz's head with his arm, but I don't think there was force or, you
a
know,
wind
like
up. A wind up. No wind
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like, we've seen that before. Like, I didn't see that, and Sam Bennett talked about it today in the media availability. He reached out to Anthony Stolarz. They were teammates. They're friendly. And Stolarz is out of the hospital, by the way. And really, Toronto was noncommittal as to whether he'll even play tomorrow. He may be fine to play tomorrow. Amazing to think, though, that last season we had under contract for our hockey and our football team two very fragile heads.
Bro, how could he be throwing up and they let him go back out onto the ice after a head injury? How?
Well, they didn't. That's when they pulled him.
I thought
they
he went back he out had, there. After
no.
Up.
He was in after the hit and after the slap shot.
Yeah.
But at one point during a period break, he had skated over to the bench and he was leaning over the bench and he was yakking. That's when they pulled him.
I don't know, man. Hawk, I didn't see any sort of windup there. When you before I saw the video this morning of the slap shot that hits him early in the game, I think it's like 5 minutes in. I mean, I could understand why somebody sees that contact and is saying, hey, that there was contact there, and for whatever reason, it led to him feeling woozy, and that's why you had to leave. But that contact sends somebody to the hospital? No way, bro. Like, once you see the video of the slap shot hitting him in the head, and then he's even shaking his head a couple seconds later when play stops, it's pretty obvious.
He's trying to get
happened.
The cobwebs out. I mean, it's a pretty telltale sign of a head injury. But they kept him in, and again, I think he was probably getting woozier and woozier, you know, and they sent him to the hospital for observation. Anytime that there's vomiting associated with a head injury, obviously you take prudent precautions. But to me, the most telltale sign was when it happened, not a single Toronto Maple Leaf went after Sam Bennett. Those guys know what's going on the ice at all times. And if there's even an iota of a dirty hit somewhere, you see what happens. Their goalie, like, make no mistake, anytime you breathe on a goalie, you start to see people lock up. And there wasn't a single Maple Leaf. First of all, there wasn't a penalty. And again, they call that stuff very closely when it comes to the goalie. They protect the goalie. It's a very big concern for the league. There was not a penalty. And there was no riffraff by the Maple Leafs after that, because they didn't see anything that met that. Now, does that mean they won't use it as a rallying cry tomorrow? Of course not. But I don't think that there's much to be seen there other than Anthony Stolarz got knocked in the head, the face, with a slap shot, and he was feeling the effects of it, and maybe that added on to it, but I don't think there was any ill intent by Sam Bennett, and the league certainly could have had a hearing today. They could retroactively punish him. They're not going to do that. So I just don't think there's anything to see here.
Especially somebody who does have a history, Hawk, of, you know, some extracurricular.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah, he is.
He's a bad dude.
And you go back to what you were saying to start the show, where it felt like there was a flurry of shots by the Panthers in the third, down one, where it seemed like they were about to tie it, and Sam Bennett gets called for a two-minute minor. And I thought that totally deflated all of the momentum that the Cats had, and I was pissed off at that penalty because it was such a dumb late hit by him. But is it because of his history that the hockey community is in some sort of an uproar? Because I am seeing just people come for Sam Bennett, talk about how he should be suspended multiple games, and I swear I'm trying to look at it by not being blinded by the fact that I'm a Panthers fan and a Sam Bennett fan, and I'm saying, what are people looking at here? In a sport where they celebrate punches being thrown constantly.
Right, but not against the goalie. Not against the goalie. Here's the thing. if you think about it in a vacuum, you didn't watch the game or you watched it casually, or you're just seeing the highlights. Anthony Stolarz was having a very good game. He connected at some point in the crease with Sam Bennett's arm, went down, went to the bench, was throwing up, was taken to the hospital for a potential head injury. 2 + 2 = 4 in most situations. But you have to give it the context of the slap shot that he took earlier. Most people won't go back that far to figure that out. And you also have to understand, like, this isn't, you know, Brad Marchand and the Panthers 2 years ago. This is Anthony Stolarz. Like, he was a beloved member of the team.
Yeah.
Like, the team liked him. So I don't think that, I don't think Sam Bennett's taken a cheap shot at Anthony Stolarz in net. And again, I would look no further than no fights when it happened, no scuffles when it happened, no penalty when it happened, and no action by the league, or at least not yet, at 10 after 2 on Tuesday. And they wouldn't wait very long on something that was egregious. So I don't think there's much to be seen there. Now, is it easy to hate on Sam Bennett when he's not playing on your team? Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget who was on with us who just said, yeah, that's a mean guy. You remember? And then all of a sudden Crowder wanted to buy his jersey.
He wanted his jersey. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Moeller. I think it was Moeller who was telling us.
Was it Moeller?
I think so.
Just like, he's a mean guy. Like, he's a mean SOB. Mm-hmm. Like, he's exactly what you want your hockey player to be. But I don't think there'll be anything to see there. And again, Toronto won the game. Anthony Stolarz looked really good. If he's not in tomorrow or the rest of the series and it's Wall, I have a completely different take on the outcome. He was making me nervous last night. I thought it was going to be the opposite end. I bet the over. I parlayed the over with the Panthers. I thought it was going to be because Stolarz was a little iffy coming out. It was really Bob who was iffy.
Bro, Hawk, the first goal, 30 seconds in. Like, what? How did I? Jimmy could have made that save, man. Jimmy could have made that save.
Did you see all the videos on their day off where it's just Sergei Bobrovsky skating silently on the ice for 45 minutes? He gets into his head. Like, we've read all these stories. If you follow Sergei Bobrovsky, nobody takes goaltending as seriously as this guy. He is like a robot. He reminds me a little bit of Drago in Rocky IV. Like, he is programmed to be a goalie, and it's all he thinks about. And there was this video of him on their day off. There was no skate around, and he is just silently skating the rink for 45 minutes straight, getting into his own head for round two. And I love him. Sergei Bobrovsky, I absolutely love him. But I was thinking last night how funny it is to go through all that and then you give up a goal 30 seconds into the game. You're like, man, I could have just hit Chipotle with Plagans and Jameson Olive and I have to skate around for 45 minutes doing nothing.
Hey, Plagans and Jameson, maybe find a Qdoba, you know?
Yeah, like, find a new place, huh? Hey, welcome to Moe's, all right? Anyway, we'll talk about that today. Randy Moeller is going to join us. Knicks won last night. Nuggets won last night. Knicks, you go, OKC and Cleveland, because we saw Cleveland the night before, and then OKC. It's like, are these teams as good as we thought they were? So much to get to. I bought David Lee Roth tickets. Talked about that yesterday on the show. I'm just fascinated with David Lee Roth. He had this comeback concert. It not even that it looked that great, but there was a pre-sale this morning for Hard Rock Live. And I very rarely buy tickets to anything because usually I can get tickets to stuff. But I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to see David Lee Roth, even in this incarnation. And so I went on this morning on the pre-sale and I bought tickets for David Lee Roth at Hard Rock Live. Very excited. Very excited.
Based on the video you sent me of David Lee Roth and all that spandex that was way too tight, that was showing off his division sign, I hope you didn't spend more than, I don't know, like $7 on those tickets, Hawk, for your sake.
$300 for two tickets.
Oh, my God, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So this dude's a legend. We're going for $300 and he sounds like that?
No, he's a legend. Well, first of all, $150 a ticket is nothing nowadays. Like that's almost like a freebie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to sit close.
I paid $150 and I was sitting behind the stage at that Krungman concert.
That's right. I mean, I'm close. So I was amazed at how inexpensive the tickets were, to be quite honest. And then we've got, speaking of tickets, we have tickets for Post Malone with Jelly Roll at Hard Rock Stadium. That's on June 8th. And we're giving you a chance to win a pair of these tickets. And we have different code word every day that you text in. Today's code word is Rockstar. Now, I don't know if Rockstar is really one word or not, but we're going to roll with it for the sake of today's contest. But I don't know if Rockstar is one word or two. Because I think Rockstar energy drink is one word, but that's a name. That's a proper name.
Yeah, there's Rockstar like games if you say, as well.
Right, but if you say David Lee Roth is a rock star, is that one word or two?
I think it's two.
I think it's two.
Yeah, I think it's two.
So I think this is a big flub on our part for the contest. But we're going to roll with it. I'm not going to complain about it. Text the word rock star or the words rock star, but put them together. I don't know. Text R-O-C-K-S-T-A-R, whatever that might be. Text it to 20357. 20357. If you need more info, go to WQAM.com. It's a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. It's a Live Nation show. Again, you want to win the tickets. The code word today is Rockstar. Text the word Rockstar to 20357.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, let's get headlines here for the 2 o'clock hour with Solana, brought to you by our friends at Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Yeah, I know you said it, Hawk, but according to the Maple Leafs, they haven't ruled out Anthony Stolarz to play tomorrow in game two, and their coach, Craig Berube. He said, quote, "We'll see this morning," when asked if Stolarz could play tomorrow.
They're always very noncommittal in hockey, and I don't think that you'll see a Tua situation here. I think if he's able to play and did not have a diagnosed head injury, then I think you'll see him out there on the ice tomorrow.
Why isn't the conversation, though, how they let him play after taking that slap shot to the head? more so than...
Because it's not that uncommon to take a slap shot to the head. You know, it's like, again, the hits that Tua has taken have not been the most uncommon football hits.
Right.
But he reacted to them in a way that, you know, obviously he was significantly injured. He falls in a weird fashion. I didn't think that, because they also have an independent spotter.
Right, right.
But a lot of people were pointing out this morning. So he takes the slap shot to the head, mask falls off, and he does the head shake to get the cobwebs out.
Yeah.
But if you notice, goalies do that all the time.
Like fixing their helmet.
Watch Bob.
Yeah.
Yes. And Bob's got the long flowing hair too. But like sometimes he'll take his helmet off, shake his head, take some water. Like it wasn't super uncommon. And it certainly didn't, like, listen, I don't think anyone on the team, Toronto, I don't think anyone would be willy-nilly. First of all, nobody wants a goalie in net who's suffering from a head injury, because it's a pretty tough position to play. I know you probably think you could do it with no problem.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty tough position to play. I know you think you could be, what was it, a linebacker? What position did you think was a long snapper?
Long snapper.
Yeah. You thought no problem there, right? Long snapper.
Give me a couple reps. I got it.
Okay. But goalie's pretty tough position to play. They're not, I don't think they're taking any chances if they don't have to. And certainly they're not going to keep someone in goal who is seeing birdies. So I just don't think that there's much blame to go around other than he did take a slap shot and it probably affected him more and more as he tried to stay out there and tough it out. And then he ended up hitting the deck again with the Bennett kerfuffle in the crease. And then you saw, like, he obviously was really feeling the effects of it. He's yakking on the bench.
You give me a year, I'll dominate the Kendall Ice Arena Rec League in goal. Just give me one year.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So tomorrow, game two, it's going to be at 7 p.m. tomorrow. The Panthers get Aaron Ekblad back. His two-game suspension is donezo.
That'll be helpful. I don't know what to think after this first game, because I literally was, for most of the game, like, oh my God, they are just getting ran off the ice. Like, they have run into a buzzsaw. But then the Panthers do what the Panthers do. I live bet them at plus 3,000 with about 6 minutes to go in the game, down 5-3. And they get the fourth goal. Now it's 5-4.
Yeah.
All I need is a little equalizer.
And it almost came,
and
bro.
I'll take my chances. And there were chances.
There were
chances at the end.
There were. That's why I didn't come away yesterday feeling like, uh-oh, this isn't going to go the way we expected. Hawk, that first goal that Bob gives up, I'm sorry, bro. Yeah. Like, that's embarrassing.
No, he saves that 9 out of 10 times.
10 out of 10 times. He just didn't that time. Yeah.
That was the 10th.
Yeah, but that was embarrassing. Like, 30 seconds into the game, it wasn't even a good shot. They were kind of just putting the puck on goal.
There was a bad defensive lapse on one of the goals.
The second goal
they were
also
pointing it out on TV, yeah. So, I mean, listen, there were issues. The problem, again, the problem that I'm having is Wall a huge drop-off
from
Stolarz? And if that's the case, I can understand why the Panthers were able to claw back into the game, right? If Bobrovsky goes out and Vanacek comes in, there's a significant drop-off, in my opinion. I mean, there should be. And so, yeah, that's the only part where I go, huh, I don't know if I can celebrate the Panthers figuring it out and coming back, because I don't know if they had everything to do with it or if the goalie situation in Toronto had something to do with it.
Yeah, first period and like 90% of the second period, though, the Panthers did not play good hockey, which is why I'm saying, okay, you gave up two bad goals in the first period. You didn't play anywhere near your best hockey in the first two periods, and you still only lost by goal. But I'm with you. A different goaltender makes all the difference in the world.
Somebody texts in, Hawk, I saw Van Halen last time they were here in Miami. David Lee Roth sounded awful. I can't imagine how he's going to sound now. I know how he sounds now because I watched his entire comeback concert this weekend on YouTube, and he sounds awful. But he's corrected it by having backup vocalists this time.
Hmm.
He was trying to do everything last time. So he's got four backup vocalists, and he does sound a little bit better than like 5 years ago when he was doing that residency in Vegas. But he doesn't sound close to 80s David Lee Roth. So I'm not there's a reason I'm going to this concert, and it's because I couldn't turn it off this weekend. It's the reason I want to see Frankie Valli if he comes back. He's 91. He has no idea where he actually thought he was playing goal last night for Toronto. I just want to see him. And I've never seen. There's another text. I saw Van Halen about 10 years ago. David Lee Roth couldn't even muster words coming out of his mouth. He didn't even sing. Yeah, I know. He's gone through a bit. But it seems like he's taken this more seriously. And I say that in air quotes because he's not a guy that would take anything seriously. But he seems to be a little bit more serious about this comeback tour than previous ones. But I've never seen Van Halen in concert. And I always regret that. Eddie Van Halen has passed away, so that dream is gone. In fact, it popped up on my Facebook memories today. 8 years ago today, I saw Tom Petty in concert up in West Palm Beach. He passed away just a couple months after that.
Damn.
And I was so glad that I got to see Tom Petty in concert. So I thought I would be... It's why I want to see Billy Idol next week at the Amerant Bank Arena.
How could you watch Van Halen, though, if Van Halen is dead?
I'm not watching Van Halen.
Oh, you're not?
I'm watching David Lee Roth.
But wasn't he the lead singer of Van Halen?
He was, yes.
Huh, okay.
He was the lead singer of Van Halen, then they kicked him out of the band, and then Sammy Hagar was the lead singer, and David Lee Roth had a hugely successful solo career.
So was Eddie Van Halen, and again, I genuinely don't know. This must have been the parts of the Big O Show that I was just kind of dozing off on, so he claims. It was Eddie Van Halen just the guitarist, the lead guitarist?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he was a guitarist.
Gotcha.
One of the best guitarists in the history of the world.
No, for sure. Van Halen, legendary.
Van Halen is a Mount Rushmore. That's a Hall of Fame band right there. Mm-hmm. But there's the David Lee Roth era, and there's the Sammy Hagar era. And they're very different eras. And they're both of them wasn't like, you know, a couple albums each. Like, it was long discographies for both. I've never seen Sammy. Sammy's not touring right now. But again, Sammy tours arenas. DLR is doing smaller venues like Hard Rock Live.
Yesterday, Oklahoma City felt like they were coasting into the fourth quarter to a game one victory. And out of nowhere, here come the Denver Nuggets. And the Nuggets steal game one in OKC. Jokic, unbelievable. Aaron Gordon, game winner.
How about the Jokic three and then the Aaron Gordon game winner? I mean, those are such big cojones shots.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was that was literally one of the best comebacks I've ever seen in a playoff game. Because Hawk,
well, how about two missed free throws from your boy Chet Holmgren?
Yeah, but no joke.
You called him a Jokic stopper.
Jokic hits the three. I didn't see misconstrue my words. I didn't call him a Jokic stopper. Crowder just made
a little
it seem,
bit. Well, you inferred he's kind of the Jokic stuff.
Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren, and yesterday he drops 42, 22, and 6 and wins the game. But no joke, he hits that three. And OKC, this Mark Dagno, for the life of me, I don't know what he's doing, fouling every single chance he gets with 14 seconds and 10 seconds. You play a foul game with 4 seconds left, not with 14 seconds left.
Work.
If they get OKC... Well, no, it didn't work. They lost. That's OKC's head coach. It didn't work. They lost.
I thought you were talking about Chet Holmgren ending up at the line.
No, but Jokic hits that three, Hawk, right? And SGA had already made two free throws. Dude's money. Best free throw shooter in the NBA. Jokic playing free safety to do everything he can to ensure SGA doesn't touch the basketball on the inbound, forcing the pass to go to anybody else. Like, it was genuinely genius work out of the Denver Nuggets. That was an awesome, awesome game last night. And the Knicks came back from 20 or whatever and won also. Who cares?
Incredible.
Stupid.
Absolutely. That city has to be going mad.
imagine how many bing bongs you're hearing all across the city, man.
My God.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, who are a little banged up, they play tonight. Game two, they're down 0-1 in that series. Warriors, Timberwolves, 9:30 p.m., game one tonight in the NBA. And in the NHL, I know the Panthers don't play until tomorrow, but tonight you have game one, Hurricanes, Capitals in the nation's capital, Oilers, Golden Knights at 9:30 p.m.
Couple texts. I love this. Hey, Hawk, black man here. I saw David Lee Roth in 1986 with Steve Vai on guitar. I will keep those memories. Appreciate that. I always like to know the race of the texter, too. That's important to me. Somebody says, imagine voting for SGA for MVP and then watching Joker go to his crib, drop 42 and 22.
Yeah, but to be fair, I was saying take the Nuggets plus 10. Like, that was a crazy line. We were all in agreement
on that.
Somebody says,
Hawk, when someone lives a clean, normal life, their speech changes lots in their 70s. What would people expect from DLR? The man lived a rough life. Oh, I'm with you. That voice is every bit of 70 years of drinking and womanizing.
All right. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the 70s. That is your weather.
Somebody says, Hawk, imagine the parlay you could build with that concert money. I mean, what are we doing, bro? Randy Moeller is going to join us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Well, we love you, Moeller. And if you were in front of me, I'd give you a big hug. Mm-mm.
Don't come near me.
Hawk and Crowder.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Randy Moeller is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. This is Billy Idol playing. Billy Idol is coming to the Amerant Bank Arena next week. Moeller, before I bring you on officially here, are you going to see Billy Idol?
I with the schedule, I'm not quite sure, Hawk. I know it's on, obviously on an off night when the Panthers aren't playing, but yeah. I'm still up in the air. I'm a busy man. I'm making lasagna, and you're calling me, you're bugging me to come on. You're crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, because I said to Solana, I said, hey, Moeller texted me that he's making lasagna, and let's get this show on the road. And Solana said to me, what kind of lasagna do you think Moeller makes? And I was suggesting all meat. There's literally no noodles, no pasta. There's nothing. It's just a giant slab of meat.
No, actually, that's incorrect. I've been making it for years and years, and I do a little my own recipe and that, and I try and stay away from red meat. It's a turkey lasagna,
really,
and yeah, a little less fat and a little more healthy for you, and that some spinach and that in there to make it a little bit more healthy. So I'm looking forward to it.
Wow. Do you do a lot of the cooking?
Yes, most of it.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the hobby that I have. It's almost every day, at least three, four times a week I make whatever. Barbecue, roast.
No idea.
Yeah, that's my favorite pastime is cooking. Hey, you don't get to be 260 pounds of twisted blue tinfoil eating salad every day.
I figured you were sit on the couch, drink a funky Buddha, and wait for dinner to be brought out to you kind of guy. That's
no,
just how I
never.
Yeah.
No, wow. never. Yeah, love making soups, right. Homemade vegetable soups, and you name it.
Who is this guy? All right, Randy Moeller, and played many years in the NHL. He was a first-round pick by Quebec back in 81, and he's been a television analyst for the Panthers for many, many years. Now, Scripps, by the way, is doing pregame shows for Panthers games, so that's Channel 39 in Dayton Broward and in Palm Beach County where I'm at. It's South Florida's 9. So let's talk about what everyone's talking about, which is Anthony Stolarz, who we love down here, by the way. Everybody loved Anthony Stolarz, including Sam Bennett, I think. So he was playing brilliantly. He gets taken out of the game, though. He apparently had a head injury, and there's been a lot of rigmarole surrounding it. Our opinion was that it was probably caused by the slap shot before the Bennett arm, and I didn't even see any malice in what Bennett did, but I'm curious, you as a former player, how you see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really do believe that it was a wrist shot, but I think it was well over 85 miles an hour from Reinhardt that hit Stolarz square right in the forehead. And even though the technology, the advancements that they've made in goalie equipment, including their masks, when you get hit that hard, it's like getting hit from a baseball with a baseball bat. Doesn't matter if you got a helmet or a mask on, you're going to feel that. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not there. I do have an opinion, though. I mean, I thought Bennett this morning in his press availability, he made the right point. He's like, hey, we're down in the game. I've got the puck. I'm trying to score. I've got a lane to bring the puck to the front of the net. I mean, it wasn't premeditated. It wasn't, I'm trying to score. And if you see how he gets to just to the side of the goal, and obviously he's confronted by a defenseman, you never know in that instance whether you're going to have a clear lane, you're going to get flattened by a defenseman, you're going to run into the goal post. You have no idea. And he's trying to score, and the puck gets knocked off his stick. His glove brushes up against Stolarz. A lot of it is, I think, the media north of the border trying to make something out of nothing. I thought the comments that Paul Maurice made, I thought the comments that Sam Bennett made. The league came out very quickly this morning and said there will be no supplemental discipline on it, and they made the right call. There's going to be all kinds of collisions like that, in, whether it's unintentional or not, that can raise a few eyebrows. But I thought the league, as Paul Maurice said last night, the referee was standing right there, had a clear view of it, never called a penalty, and shouldn't have. And the league made their statement this morning. Just move on and that. But they're trying to make a big thing. Now, we all agree. I mean, Anthony Stolarz is a favorite and amongst all of us. I mean, he was so good with us broadcasters, and throughout in the organization, I think they said the same thing. They love Anthony Stolarz. Nobody wants to see Anthony Stolarz get hurt. But it's a physical game. It's a quick game, and there's going to be collisions happen and that. So I just hope everybody I hope that Anthony Stolarz is going to be fine. I hope he plays tomorrow. If not, he's back sooner than later. And I think that's the sentiment of everybody involved here.
We were trying to figure out, Moeller, why exactly this specific play had everybody, and as you put it, north of the border, up in arms. Because the last video I saw of Anthony Stolarz was in that Ottawa series 2 weeks ago, literally hitting Ridly Gregg in the back of the neck, trying to get him out of
that
the crease.
That was so great.
And I
loved that.
Right, man. We all loved it. Like, we typically celebrate big hits in the NHL, and I realize nobody wants to see a goalie go down the way he did, but what is it because of Sam Bennett's history and the player he is?
It wasn't even a big hit, though, was right. it? I didn't think it was a big hit.
At all. But that's what I'm saying, Moeller. Is it because of his history that people are trying to make this a little bit more than what it really is?
I don't know. But let me just try and clarify it even more. And that because the game is so fast, we've seen some hits and we've seen some suspensions because it's been a borderline premeditated, where you have control over your body and you're going in, and there's been some hits and that or what the league would look at is maybe a second or two before it happens, that it's kind of premeditated. There's no way that this was premeditated. Sam Bennett's trying to score. He's trying to score to help his team. And that it's a physical game. There's going to be collisions. There's players you'll see tomorrow night. You're going to see it five times at least in the game, where you're going to see it tonight with the other games that are going on in the NHL playoffs, where players are driving to the net and walking the line and trying to jump in front and jam it in behind the goaltender, and that there's going to be huge collisions and that. It's just, that's just the nature of the sport. It's just unfortunate that Anthony Stolarz, basically pulled himself out of the game. Obviously, he wasn't 100%, and then that's when everybody started to make assumptions, which I have no reason to, go overboard to protect Sam Bennett. He plays the game on the edge. He's a physical player. He's been involved in a number of altercations and collisions that have raised a few eyebrows. That's the player he is. But this one, it was just silly to me that people are trying to make him out to be the villain that should be suspended. It just makes no sense to me.
And it's like you said and what he said. I mean, he doesn't want to end up in the penalty box in that situation for something stupid. He wants to get a goal there. They want to get out of there with a win, if at all possible. Can you analyze last night's game? Because here's where I'm having the hang up, but I don't know hockey, obviously, on any spectrum the way that you do. the Panthers seemingly figured it out by the end of the game. They were close to tying it with the last minute or so. But I don't know if that's because the Panthers figured it out or because Wall is a huge step down from Stolarz. So can you help me analyze the game and tell me what you saw, what your takeaways were last night?
I thought Paul Maurice's comments last night after the game were right on. They got off to a jittery start, and obviously giving up that first goal, 33 seconds into the first period, and you're trying to, when you're on the road, take the home crowd out of it as best you can and establish momentum. Well, obviously Toronto had the momentum in the first period, and getting up 3-1. Paul Maurice said, we were late on things. What that translates is they were a step late getting in the passing lanes, a step late recognizing that it could be a fast break by Toronto. They were maybe a second late a few times on their forecheck, allow Toronto to get a clear exit out of their own zone. These are all little things that play into the game. And yes, even though the Panthers came back and really made a game and exciting towards the end there. And then the other thing, too, the Panthers' penalty killing has been excellent. What they were 5-for-5 last night. That needs to continue. But I just thought there was a couple of penalties that the Panthers took last night when they seemed to have the momentum and they had the puck possession more, and that leads to momentum and put the opposition on their heels, all the different cliches. And then the Panthers, they took a couple of different penalties. Now, everybody knows Florida's the most aggressive team in the NHL. They lead the league in hits. They're the best forechecking team. They play on the edge, but it's a fine line. They have to play aggressive, but try not to take those penalties that will stop the momentum that you've created. I very much believe that the Panthers will make the adjustments. They've been in this position before, Hawk, and that they've been in this position. And I remember, go back last year, what they lose 5-1 the first game to Boston. So they're a mature, experienced team that have been through it these last 3 years, guys. They've done it. They've seen it all. They've been blown out. They've blown out teams. They've come back. They've lost leads and that. So this is not new to them. They know that they didn't play their best game. Toronto was the better team last night and improved in the final score. I totally believe that the Panthers will make the adjustments and they'll come out with a little better success in the first period tomorrow night. And then once they get established in there and get what they call Panther hockey going, where the puck possession forcing Toronto, the opposition, whoever they're playing, like they did against Tampa, to turn the puck over and make ill-advised passes and positionally wrong, then that's when the Panthers, they took over. Like they did, they took over the series and against Tampa Bay. They just forced Tampa into plays that they just normally don't make, and then now you're chasing the game and that. The Panthers had to chase the game last night. They don't want to chase it in game number two. But it's going to, you know, Toronto's a different team, guys, and I'll just finish on with my thought here. Everybody's, you know, the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs, if they face a little adversity in the past, well, everybody knows their playoff record and that. They wobble, they break, they panic and that. This is a different team. They've got Tanev and they've got Oliver Ekman-Larsson back on defense, and Morgan Riley's playing the best hockey he has in about 10 years. There's a solid, solid team. They've been through it. They've had the heartaches. I think they've learned from it. So This is going to be a tough, long series. So nobody's going to win this in four games. Nobody's going to lose it in four games. It's going to be a long series.
What are you making with the lasagna? You making a little garlic bread or something?
No, just lasagna and salad. I don't eat the
really?
Salad,
That's
though.
It.
I just look at it. It looks nice, though.
And what do you have to drink? You have some sort of Coke Zero, maybe?
Yeah, maybe something like that. Maybe something that's on the same level as what they call grape juice, you know.
Oh, a little vino, a little lasagna, a little vino. I like that. God. You ever have an Aperol Spritz, Moeller?
What's that?
You ever have an Aperol Spritz?
No.
All right. Well, I'll take you out for an Aperol Spritz one night.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like something my wife would drink, you know?
It is. That's what Crowder tells me every time I order one. He's like, oh, let me see if my wife wants one. All right. See you, Moeller. We love you.
All right, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
There you go. Randy Moeller, longtime Panthers broadcaster. We will take a break. I should probably remind everybody one more time, as long as we have a second here. Our Whiskey Stars and Cigars event presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall is back this Friday at Tabacon Plantation Walk. And we want you to come on out and join us and meet the QAM staff and have a fun night. And there'll be a hockey game going on, from what I understand. So enjoy a whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. No registration is needed. Just stop by Friday. Crowder and I are going to do the show live there from 2 till 6, and then the doors open at 6. Whiskey Stars and Cigars, Tabacon Plantation Walk. It's free. It's presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2024 Dealer of the Year. 22 acres of new and pre-owned Chevys, Cadillacs, and Buicks, and online at edmoresawgrass.com. Must be 21 or over to attend. Hopefully, we will see you there on Friday night.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
And he tucks it underneath that crossbar where Mrs. Moeller keeps the peanut butter.
Hawk and Crowder.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.